Good morning. Today is the seventh Sunday since we've been able to gather together here in our sanctuary. I miss seeing my church family and worshiping together. But while we wait on the Lord, we know that God is working in the midst of this pandemic and even the shelter in place. When our forced separation began, we started to proclaim God's word to you through video. That has resulted in hundreds of people who do not attend our church listening to these sermons. The Word of God is not quarantined. We pray that God uses these present circumstances to glorify His name and to bring many more souls into His spiritual family. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for this opportunity that we have today to look into your word, to hear what you have to say to us today. Father, I pray that you would open our hearts and minds to receive from you, and I pray that you would give me the words to speak, to share this message that you've laid on my heart. Bless our time together now. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Today, we will return to the sermon series in the book of Acts that we began 8 months ago. Since it has been 2 months since we took a break from this series and we have gained many new listeners, I will reprise my introduction to the book of Acts before we continue our study next Sunday in chapter 6. Acts is the third longest book in the New Testament. It is written by Luke as a continuation of the ministry of Jesus that he had begun to record in the Gospel of Luke. Together, the Gospel of Luke and the book of Acts make up one third of our New Testament. Luke was a Greek, a physician, a follower of Christ, and a traveling companion of the Apostle Paul. He was an eyewitness to many of the events that he writes about in this book. In so doing, Luke became the historian of the early Christian church. Luke tells us the story of how God used a few ordinary men and women to proclaim the gospel to others. And in the power of the Holy Spirit, the result was that they turned the world upside down, according to Acts 17:6. We know that because of their efforts and the efforts of those who came after them, that within 3 centuries, Christianity would become the greatest force within the Roman Empire. And the rest, as they say, is history, or his story. In the book of Acts, we will learn how this was accomplished and what it means for us today. As the book of Acts begins, an important transition is taking place. Christ's work of redemption has been completed, and the church's work of evangelism has just begun. During his 3 years of public ministry, the work of preaching and teaching had been done primarily by Jesus himself as he trained his disciples. Now it was time to pass that responsibility on to his disciples before he ascended back into heaven to take his rightful place at the right hand of the Father. The burden to proclaim the gospel to a lost world will rest on their shoulders. The disciples obviously lacked the understanding and the spiritual power to complete the task unfinished of proclaiming the gospel to the whole world. But God, Jesus tells them that God the Father will send to them God the Holy Spirit to indwell them and empower them to be his witnesses. And through their spirit-empowered proclamation of the gospel, to turn the world upside down to the glory of God. God would supply all they needed to accomplish this task, as we shall see in the opening verses of Acts chapter 1. God supplied them with the correct focus, the correct message, the correct method, and the power to carry it out. Let me read our text for us. Acts chapter 1, verses 1 through 5. In the first book, O Theophilus, I have dealt with all that Jesus began to do and to teach until the day when he was taken up, after he had given commands through the Holy Spirit to the apostles whom he had chosen. He presented himself alive to them after his suffering by many proofs, appearing to them during 40 days and speaking about the kingdom of God. And while staying with them, he ordered them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, you heard from me. For John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. The first thing that we see in this text is the focus. The focus, and that focus is Christ himself. Luke's focus in his writing, the apostles' focus in their preaching, and our focus in ministering to others today must be Christ. Luke's focus was on the person and work of Christ. Luke reminds Theophilus, that is the gentleman that he is writing to, that in his first book, he had focused upon all that Jesus began to do and to teach until the day he was taken up to heaven. Now, Luke will continue to focus on what Jesus continued to do through his Spirit, indwelling and empowering his chosen servants. You see, Christianity is not simply a teaching. Christianity is a person. Jesus Christ. It is knowing Christ, believing on Christ, trusting in Christ for salvation, and living to serve and glorify Christ. Then, as well as now, the focus must be on Christ, who he is, and what he accomplished. He is God, the second person of the Trinity. He is the unique Son of God who became a human being and lived a perfectly sinless life. Then he laid down his life as a sacrifice for the sins of all who would trust in him for salvation. He was buried in a borrowed tomb, and on the third day he rose again from the dead and appeared to his disciples several times over a period of 40 days before he ascended back into heaven in his glorified human body. He has provided forgiveness for our sin, reconciliation with God, adoption into the family of God, and the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, which enables us to keep the focus upon Christ and to share the message of the gospel, which is salvation through Christ and through Christ alone. The message is salvation through Christ. As I mentioned earlier, Acts picks up where the Gospel of Luke ends. In the last few verses of that gospel, Jesus instructs his disciples regarding the message that they are to proclaim. Let me read to you what he said to them in Luke chapter 24, verses 46 and 47. And he said to them, thus it is written that the Christ should suffer and on the third day rise from the dead, and that repentance and forgiveness of sins should be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. Thus it is written that Christ should suffer for sin and on the third day rise again from the dead. Jesus makes it clear here what his disciples are to proclaim. And the same is true for us today. He did not leave it up to them to come up with a message. And he doesn't leave it up to us to come up with a message either. There is only one message. That is the power of God for salvation. And that is the gospel message. And that message is that Jesus suffered and died to pay the penalty for our sins, that he was buried, and that he rose again on the third day in accordance with the scriptures. And that people everywhere must repent and believe to receive forgiveness for their sins. This is the powerful message that God used to change my life and that God uses to change lives. This is the message that we have seen proclaimed over and over again in the first five chapters of Acts. And we will see this message proclaimed again and again through the rest of the book of Acts. This is the God-given gospel message that will turn the world upside down. This is the same message that God wants you and I to proclaim right now in the midst of this global pandemic. This is the message that will set people free. This is the message that results in reconciliation with God. This is our greatest need, to be freed from the penalty of our sin and to be reconciled to God. This is the message that results in eternal life with God. So let us resolve to be witnesses for Christ and to share the message that Jesus gave to us and to use the method that Jesus commanded to accomplish this task. And what is the method? The method is proclamation. Look again at Luke 24:47. Jesus says this, that repentance and forgiveness of sins should be proclaimed in his name. Proclaimed. Jesus directed his followers to do exactly what he had done, to proclaim the gospel message to the lost. We should have the desire to see our family members, friends, and neighbors come to saving faith in Jesus Christ. And Scripture tells us that faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ. We are now given the unfinished task of proclaiming the gospel in the name of Christ to all nations, to all peoples. And I am suggesting to you that we use the current challenging time as an opportunity to share the gospel with those that God has placed in our life. And we pray that God will use our current circumstances to give us those opportunities to share the hope of Christ with those that have no hope outside of Christ. These are troubling times in which we live. And I believe that God is preparing the hearts of people to hear his word, to hear the gospel, and to respond to it. And we've seen that and heard that over and over again over these last 7 weeks. And so I pray that you will look for those opportunities to be his witness and to proclaim his gospel. Jesus gave his disciples the correct focus, the correct message, and the correct method to use. He also gave to them and to all believers in Christ the divine source of power that we would need to accomplish the work of evangelism. And that source of divine power is the indwelling presence of the Spirit of Christ. The power that we need comes from the Holy Spirit. Let me read verses 4 and 5 to you again. Jesus said this to his disciples. While staying with them, he ordered them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, "You heard from me. For John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now." In fact, as we know from our study, it would be 10 days later. Jesus appeared to his disciples over a period of 40 days, several times after his resurrection. And then, 10 days after he ascended into heaven, God poured out the promised Holy Spirit upon his disciples. Jesus had taken the opportunity during those 40 days to instruct his disciples regarding the kingdom of God. But Jesus knew that they needed the indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit in order to be effective witnesses for him. The same Holy Spirit who empowered them on the day of Pentecost now dwells in every follower of Christ and empowers us as well to proclaim the gospel as his witnesses. We have already seen in our study how the Holy Spirit worked through the disciples in the weeks following the day of Pentecost. They went out and they proclaimed the gospel message, and thousands responded, were born again, and were added to the church in Jerusalem. Over the course of the next few chapters in Acts, we will see how the Holy Spirit will now lead them to go beyond Jerusalem with the gospel message, first to Judea, then to Samaria, and eventually to the whole of the Roman Empire. And as I mentioned earlier, in a matter of a few years, Christianity will become the major religion of the Roman Empire. And in three centuries, it will become the dominant force in the Roman Empire. And from there, it will spread around the world. Today, that work continues through us, who God has chosen to be his witnesses. The same Holy Spirit indwells us and empowers us to share the gospel message effectively. Therefore, you and I have been given the divine power needed to do the work that God has called us to do. God has empowered us to be his witnesses, to be effective in proclaiming the message of salvation through Jesus Christ and through him alone. And as I said earlier, this is the most important message for a time like this. There is so much fear in the world right now. Fear of death, fear of illness, fear of financial loss, and yes, fear of the unknown. Our entire world has been turned around. And so we know that there are people right now that are searching for answers, searching for direction. And so now we can go out and we can give the reason for the hope that we have. We can share the glorious news that there is salvation and eternal life in Jesus Christ. And as we continue to study the book of Acts together, may we be inspired to follow in the footsteps of those who have gone before us, those who have been used by God to do His will as His obedient servants. We need to pray for a great harvest of souls. We need to pray that the church of Jesus Christ will rise up in this time and they will proclaim the message of salvation through Jesus Christ, and that many souls will be saved as a result. Later, the Apostle Paul will write to the Romans in Romans chapter 1, verse 16, that he is not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God unto salvation for those who believe, for both the Jews and the Greeks. It doesn't matter your background. It doesn't matter where you came from. It doesn't matter how you were raised. The gospel message that Jesus died for our sins. He was buried, and on the third day he rose again. And that we can repent of our sins, believe and trust in Christ for eternal life. That gospel message is powerful for all who believe. My prayer for you is that you will trust in Christ for your salvation. And if you have, then my prayer for you is that you will go and tell others. The book of Acts is a marvelous history of how God's people, empowered by God's Spirit, go into the world and proclaim the gospel message. And God blesses that proclamation by bringing souls into the family of God. And I pray for our church and for all Christian churches that we would be effective in doing so at this time. The next time we gather by video, next Sunday, I will begin preaching in Acts chapter 6. And we will look at how God led his apostles to select men to become deacons, to help care for the needs of the church. We will be looking at Acts chapter 6, verses 1 through 7. So I would encourage you to read that text through this next week and be prepared to hear what God has to say to us next Sunday. In the meantime, let us continue to worship our God, our Savior, our Lord Jesus Christ. Let us continue to give thanks to Him for the blessing of being a part of His family. And let us continue to be His witnesses, even to the ends of the earth. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for this opportunity for us to be reminded of how powerfully you work through your word. Father God, sometimes we think, oh, I don't know how to be a witness. Father God, you have told us how to be a witness, and that is to share the gospel, proclaim the gospel, to tell others that salvation comes through Jesus Christ, through his death, burial, and resurrection. Father God, you have called each and every one of us to be your witnesses, and you have indwelt us by your Spirit so that we have the power to be your witnesses. So help us now to fulfill our calling to share the gospel with those that you've placed in our life. And Father God, for any that have not yet received Jesus Christ as their Savior and Lord, I pray, Father God, that you would grant them the gift of saving faith, that you would bring them into salvation in your Son and bring them into your family. We are so blessed, Father, to be a part of the family of God. And Father, we look forward to the day when we can meet again together in person and worship you together in this place. Lord, we pray that you will speed that time. In the meantime, help us to wait on you, to serve you, to glorify you. Help us in this, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.